Turn your Bibles to Exodus chapter 20. We'll be reading one verse here. But it's amazing how you can come up with material from one verse. You're saying, yeah, you're telling me I have to listen to you. Okay. But I'll read a verse, Exodus chapter 20 and verse 12, and then also Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 16, is where Moses is restating the Ten Commandments to the people as they're ready to go into the promised land. And so I will read these two verses for you. Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. And then Deuteronomy 5:16, honor your father and mother as the Lord your God commanded you, that your days may be long and that it may go well with you in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. Let's pray. Father, help us to obey this command. No matter how old we are here this morning, help us to obey it. For those that are older, to model it, to teach it, to instruct it to our children and to our grandchildren. Oh God, help us to apply this in Jesus' precious name. Amen. It is no surprise, it's not shocking news, that we in our country have a great lack of respect for authority. For teachers, for policemen and women, for parents, and for all authority. It really is a sad day when you think about the lack of respect. We live in a culture that doesn't like authority. You may have seen the bumper sticker that says, question authority. You read the paper, you turn on the news, and you see all kinds of examples of the lack of respect for authority. As you've been following the situation in Ferguson, Missouri, we need to pray for those that are in authority. Pray for our police men and women, for the legal system. They need a lot of wisdom at this time. It's sad to see all the violence that has taken place there, and many of those that came and created violent acts and were arrested were from outside of the town itself. Back in the 60s, I was young during the 60s, but major changes took place in the time of the 60s. It was a time that was known as the decade of the anti-establishment. Young people were anti-government, anti-military, anti-school. Really, anything they could go against, they were against it. But of all the institutions that really came under the greatest attack, it was probably the family. And I believe that there is a direct correlation between the lack of respect for parents and the lack of respect that we see going on in our society today. Parental authority is disregarded. And we see in increasing measures young people suing their parents over issues of discipline and matters of authority in the home. This is a sad day in which we live in. But we must come back to the Word of God as our hope, and we must train our kids to have a respect for authority. The former First Lady Barbara Bush once said, "Success does not depend on what happens at the White House, but what happens at your house." I thought that was very, very good. As the home goes, so goes the nation. James Boyce makes this quote, "The dark background of this commandment is to be found in the natural human dislike for authority. That is why the family is so important in God's economy." He goes on to say, "If children are not taught to respect their parents, but allowed to get away with disobedience and dishonoring them, later in life they will rebel against every form of authority. If they disobey their parents, they will disobey the laws of the state. If they do not respect their parents, they will not respect teachers, elected officials, and others. If they do not honor their parents, they will not honor God." So by implication, when God tells us through Moses, well, through this text here we have before us, God tells the nation of Israel, to honor your father and your mother. He is telling us to respect those who are in authority, but in particular, those right there in your own household. Respect in the home provides a foundation for respect for all authority. I find this placement in our text before us and in the numbering of the Ten Commandments interesting. We've already talked about the first four commandments, and that's basically referring to our relationship with God. And now, as we go into the six other commandments that deal with our relationship with one another, this is the bridge. This is the transition commandment that leads us into a discussion of how we are to deal with one another. So the fifth commandment, dealing with the family, forms the bridge to the other ones, dealing with our fellow man. This placement shows us the importance of the family. In telling us how to treat one another, God starts with the family, loving and then loving our neighbor as ourself. Augustine emphasized the importance of the fifth commandment by posing a rhetorical question. If anyone fails to honor his parents, is there anyone else that he will spare? An interesting question. I think another point to make in this, the importance of this command, is shown by the very fact that it's the only one of the Ten Commandments that has a promise attached to it. And we'll look at that in just a few minutes. But first of all, if you're following on your outlines, you'll notice here, first of all, we're going to look at some specifics as it relates to the command itself. And then we'll look at some specific ways that we can honor our father and mother. And we're going to talk about that, break it down into children, teens, / college students still under the parents' roof, and then adults as well. So let's plow in first to point number one, the command to honor your father and mother. A newspaper editor decided he would print one of the Ten Commandments every day for 10 successive days in his newspaper. At the completion of the printing of the Ten Commandments, a reader wrote in and said, "Cancel my subscription. Your paper is getting too personal." We're going to get personal today and in the next 5 weeks as we talk about our personal relationship with one another, but first in the home. Letter A, what is the meaning of honor? We dealt with this a couple weeks ago when we talked about honoring the name of the Lord, but it's a good reminder. The Hebrew word for honor literally means heavy or weighty. Heavy or weighty. To honor one's parents is to give due weight to their position. It is to give them the recognition that they deserve for their God-given authority in the home. To honor is to respect, to esteem, to value. Honor is something that really begins in the heart, and then it manifests itself in our words and in our actions. You've probably heard of the little boy that was told to sit down over and over again. And he didn't, he refused until finally he sat down and basically said, "I may be sitting down on the outside, but I'm standing up on the inside." And you know, that sometimes is the way that we often obey authority. It really is not from the heart. And yet, obviously, these commandments, the Lord is challenging us in the New Testament that we need to begin and to apply these commands from the heart. Remember how he talks about if you have lust toward a woman in your heart, you've committed adultery. If you are angry against your brother in your heart, you have committed murder. So here, if we are not obeying out of a heart for doing what God expects, we are really not obeying and honoring whom God has said to honor. As you have honor in your heart, it will come out in your words and actions. And Jesus said, out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. When your father and mother say something, don't take it lightly. Listen to your parents' advice. Don't brush it off. Take it seriously. Give weight to what they're saying. You may say, "Pastor, I am now retired and my parents are long gone. What does this message have to do for me?" I challenge you this morning. You have then the obligation to train your children and grandchildren, to pray for them, to instruct those grandchildren as you have the opportunity and to show them from God's Word about their obligation. You are to honor your parents because of the heaviness of their position. You are to treat them with respect because of their position as parents over you. Well, let's look at letter B, the seriousness of this matter of honoring parents. Is this command really that important? What do you think? Does God take it seriously? If you have never noticed it before, the Old Testament really gives some sober punishments to individuals who rebel, dishonor, and disrespect their parents. You may not even know this, but in Exodus 21, just jot it down in your notes, Exodus 21, 15 and 17, it says this, "Whoever strikes his father or his mother shall be put to death." Verse 17, "For whoever curses his father or his mother shall be put to death." Leviticus 20, verse 9, "If anyone curses his father or mother, he must be put to death. He has cursed his father or his mother, and his blood will be on his own head." Aren't you glad this capital punishment is still not going on today? There would be fewer children around. There would be also examples taken, and notice that it is important. But I remember as our oldest son Josh was going through junior high and high school, in our community we had some families that oftentimes as we were sending Josh out to the school bus, we would often hear parents and children arguing with one another, swearing at each other, and on the point of fighting with each other. And those were just across the street and down one. And so that what a sad commentary right before us. It was embarrassing to just step outside the door some mornings and to hear all this going on right there before us. God takes this seriously, this matter of honoring our parents. Deuteronomy 21, verses 18 through 21, say this, "If a man has a stubborn and rebellious son who will not obey the voice of his father or the voice of his mother, and though they discipline him, and will not listen to them, then his father and mother shall take hold of him and bring him out to the elders of the city at the gate of the place where he lives. And they shall say to the elders of his city, 'This is our stubborn and rebellious son. He will not obey our voice. He is a glutton and a drunkard.' Then all the men of the city will stone him to death with stones. So you shall purge the evil from your midst, and all Israel shall hear and fear." How many of those do you think it would take to really take notice that this is a serious matter? One, maybe two if they didn't get the point. But what a somber thing it is to realize how serious that is in God's eyes. Proverbs 19, verse 26, "He who does violence to his father and chases away his mother is a son who brings shame and reproach." And there are many other verses. The other one I found was interesting was Proverbs 30, verse 17. "The eye that mocks a father and scorns his mother will be picked out by the ravens of the valley and eaten by the vultures." Wow, that would be an awful thing to see, wouldn't it? These are words that must be taken seriously. Honor your father and mother. Turn to the New Testament. This is not just something for those days. I'd like you to notice in Romans chapter 1. And here, this in Romans chapter 1, it's a sad commentary on how man has left God out of his life, has basically chosen to ignore God, to reject God, and to go after created things and make them their own gods, gods of their own creation. Then it goes on and says God gave them over to their own devices because they just wanted to do their own thing. Notice in this now as we look to verse 28 of Romans chapter 1. Notice the list that here Paul develops about people that have done some horrendous things. And since they did not see fit, verse 28, to acknowledge God, God gave them over to their debased mind to do what ought not to be done. They were filled with all manner of unrighteousness, evil, covetousness, malice. They are full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, maliciousness. They're gossips, slanderers, haters of God, insolent, haughty, boastful, inventors of evil, disobedient to parents, foolish, faithless, heartless, ruthless. And though they know God's righteous decree, they practice these things and encourage others to practice them with them. Do you notice anything about parents in there? Right in the midst of this list of debauchery that's going on, Paul points out that disobedience to parents is right among them, is the heart of the wretchedness that's going on. Turn over to 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3, we find that in the last days, great godlessness will be characteristic of our day, of our society. And here in 2 Timothy chapter 3, notice verses 1 and 2. But understand this, that in the last days there will come times of difficulty, for people will be lovers of self, lovers of money, proud, arrogant, abusive, and right here in the list is disobedience to their parents. So we find here that they're listed among the most heinous things that a person can do, and it's characteristic of the last days for those, for children to be disobedient to their parents. Letter C, as we work our way down through the outline, who is to honor? Who is to do this honoring? The command is given to everyone, not just children. Oftentimes when we think of this command, we think, well, I don't have to worry about this. I've done it, or I'm doing it, and I'll just kind of move on. But this command is not aimed for just young children. It is also for teens and young adults and older adults. Al Mohler stated some really fantastic things, and he said this: this is not children's church out at Mount Sinai. He said, it is not as if we have 9 grown-up adult commandments, and then we have 1 children's church commandment. No, this is for all adults we have here that are addressed, and we need to follow this and honor our parents. Letter D, who is to be honored? Notice it's both fathers and mothers. Fathers have a responsibility to be the spiritual leaders of their home, but in this matter of honor, both fathers and mothers should be honored. This command includes the deserving and the undeserving. What do I mean by that? There are some parents that are easy to honor. The kids know full well that their parents love them, are trying to do the best for them, are raising them in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Those are the parents that are easy to honor. I'm thankful for my parents. Now, there were times when, as a young kid, I was not very thankful for my parents, especially when the Board of Education was applied to my seat of knowledge. It was not very pleasant, and I was really a rebel at heart. God had to, you know, do a lot of work through my parents. He had to stay stick-to-itive there for me because I was a rascal. I was in a school in upstate Virginia, and it was in the middle to late 60s, and I was the minority in a black school, and I wanted to fit in. And the kids were not very respectful of authority, and so I got in some bad habits. And I remember standing outside the classroom a lot. I remember standing in the corner a lot. I remember going to the principal's office a lot. And when I got sent there, oh, did I get it when I got home too. So I got a double portion of all of that. I remember running in the parking lot for getting in fights. I was a rebel, and I did not know, and I did not apply. In fact, this morning I woke up about 4:30, and I was just thinking about those days. And I was really, I said, Lord, I'm thankful that my parents stayed with the stuff. And I didn't like the spankings, but it sure took a lot to beat it out of me. But I'm thankful I had parents who cared enough about my future and my learning what it meant to respect authority. And I'm glad God gave me an older boy, too. My oldest son was a challenge for us. Going through his junior high days, I didn't know if we were going to make it through. I didn't know if he was going to make it through. Because I remembered Bill Cosby. And I kind of felt like saying this all the time to him: we have brought you into this world, and I will take you out of this world. And I felt like doing that a number of times. Lord, take him home, or I'll help you. But it was, I'm glad that I had parents who cared for me, and I knew that they loved me. And I'm glad that then through junior high and high school for me, as well as in high school for Josh, it was a wonderful experience, and I learned a lot through those times. But what happens if you have a parent who doesn't care? And the sad reality is, I know that some of you are in this room, you had parents that did not care. They were abusive, and they deserted the family, and on it goes. And it hurts me to even think about some of the stories that you have had to go through. But I believe even in those times, God wants us to honor our parents. You may say, how can I possibly do that? You don't know my parents. You don't know what they did to me. You don't know the example they sent. The only thing I can say is that I'm glad for, again, the Word of God. We won't turn to it, but just jot down 1 Samuel, especially chapter 20. We find that there was a man named King Saul. King Saul was a bad king. He was a jealous king. He was a king who had his emotions all messed up. He was an angry man. And there were several occasions where he tried to kill his own son, Jonathan, out of his rage and his jealousy over the fact that David was being advanced in the kingdom more than he was. And yet to see in 1 Samuel 20 the loyalty, the respect, the honor that Jonathan gave to his dad, even in the horrible treatment that he gave to his son, he honored the position, not only as a king, but as a father. Jerry Vines expressed it in this way, "Your parents may have more hang-ups than the phone company." But he went on to say, "You should still remember that there might be things in your life, too, that have been a disappointment or an embarrassment to them." And I encourage you, if that's the situation, if you have parents that you're totally ashamed about and bitter towards, I encourage you to pray for them, to give them grace, knowing that it is no small task to be a parent these days. Grant them forgiveness. Don't let the bitterness that you have in your heart towards what they did to you destroy you, but strive to be an example to your children and to those around you. Be careful how you talk about them with your children. Give thanks, even if it was only for the fact of giving you birth and maybe providing for some of your needs. You still can give thanks. Letter E. There's a promise associated with honor. This was a little bit more challenging to understand. But it says in verse 12, "Honor your father and mother, that your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God is giving you." And again, it repeats that in Deuteronomy 5. You honor them, that your days may be long, and that it may go well with you in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. This promise had special meaning for the Israelites. They had just been released, freed by God, delivered from the land of slavery. And God promised to lead them into a new and better land. And one way that they would ensure that they would keep living in the land was to honor their father and mother. So I think, you know, there are several things that we can learn about this matter of this promise. First of all, if you obeyed this command, you'll live longer, you'll not face the capital punishment. Now that's kind of more of an obvious one, all right? If I don't honor them, I'm going to be taken out. All right, so there you go. Your disobedience is going to really be costly. But I don't think that that's the main point here. I think it's if you obey this command, you will live with God's blessing in the land of promise. I don't think it's here talking about if you obey your parents, he'll make you live till age 90 or 100. I mean, because how do you explain then those deaths of children? Young children, teenagers, young adults. Does that mean that they must have disobeyed their parents and God took them out? No, that would be a poor understanding of God's word. So I think the promise refers to the duration and the blessing of the nation in the land that the Lord was going to give them rather than a lengthened lifespan of a certain number of years. How does this command relate to us today? The New Testament goes on to give us several reasons why we should obey, why children should obey their parents. And I think there's even, you know, there, first of all, it tells us in Ephesians 6, which was read earlier, that children are to obey their parents in the Lord, for this is what? It's the right thing to do. It's the right thing to do. And also in Colossians chapter 3 and verse 20, it says, children, obey your parents in everything, for this what? Pleases the Lord. So children ought to obey their parents because it's the right thing to do, because it's what God expects of them and it pleases Him. And I think, to be honest with you, if you follow your parents' instructions, I believe that you also will have a better life, a healthier life, and maybe even a longer life, because you'll not get involved in relationships that you shouldn't. You'll not get into substance abuse like it would be tempted to do. Your nutrition, your education, and many other things will be a benefit to you. But I don't think that there is, a promise here for us today to be able to claim saying I can live to 100 because I'm honoring my parents. But I believe God's blessings will be with you if you do honor and do what He asks you, do what He tells you to do. Parents, we need to take it, and I'll just kind of make this comment, make a little note here. As parents, we have the responsibility to take our job seriously. We need to make it easier for our children to honor us by doing what God has told us to do in His Word. Well, let's look at some ways to honor our father and mother, and we'll just go through this quickly. Some practical ways. Some of these are found in the Word of God. Some of these are just common sense. But children, what is the primary responsibility of the way the child should honor their father and mother? It's through obedience. Our children need to obey. That is the best way they can honor their parents. The Puritans said, a child should be the parent's echo. When the father speaks, the child should echo back obedience. Your four-year-old child, you tell him, clean your room, take a nap, eat your vegetables. All right? What do you expect? That they do it. They may not like it. They may not like some of the rules that are set down, but they have a responsibility to obey. Don't tolerate screaming. Don't tolerate kicking and hitting. You'll never teach your kids to learn to obey if you do that. I'll give you an example. When I was coming back from California back in May, I was visiting Josh and Chelsea, our oldest son and his wife and family, and I was at the airport waiting in Ontario to come back to Chicago. And I had about an hour at the gate to wait to get on the plane. And there were two parents there that were very much involved in their video games on their phones. And they had a five to seven-year-old son that was wandering around there. And he was absolutely a terrorist. I mean, it was awful. He was terrible. He was noisy, obnoxious, disobedient, not respecting authority. And they would holler at him, say, I'll do this to you if you do it another time. He would do it. He knew that he could just push all the buttons, never had to worry about them screaming. He was on my stuff, on the other guy's stuff, on their stuff, all over the place. It made me frustrated. It was driving me crazy. I wanted to pull out the Bible and tell them what they needed to do as parents. It was really frustrating. But they were creating a monster. And I hate to see where this kid is headed, because the parents didn't care enough to treat him right, and this child was not learning to obey. But children, if you're in the room here today, I think they're most of all gone, but children, obey, and obey right away. Don't wait until 9 and a half if you're counting to 10, or if you're counting to 5, wait until 4 and a half. Children know those things. Don't teach them to have delayed obedience. Have them respect you, to treat you right, to speak correctly. Don't tolerate wrong speech. When I was going through the hard times with Josh during his junior high days, I took my son to a counselor, and we sat across from the counselor, my son and I, and I said, I don't know what to do with him. And so we began talking about how we handled certain things and what I came down hard on and what I didn't come down hard on. And what I realized was that when he was showing disrespect and real rebellion against us, that I was not coming down hard enough. And so I'll never forget what the counselor said. He said, "Pastor Mark," again, it was humbling that I'm supposed to be guiding people and helping their children, and I couldn't control my own. He said, "Pastor Mark, here's a simple thing. If you don't teach him to respect authority, to respect your authority, when he gets to be 15 or 20, he'll spit in the face of a policeman and will not respect any authority at all." And that just stuck with me. And for some reason, that latched on him as well. And Josh began understanding and he began obeying. And it was incredible, the difference. We had to work through some issues. And I had to go to him a couple of times. And I have to say, I said, "Josh, do you know Jesus as your Savior? You're acting like a rebel out of control. Do you care anything about God?" And I'm glad that God helped him to turn around and Dad to turn around and start doing right as a parent. But obedience is so important for a children in your household. Parents, don't give up. I remember agonizing with Judy, and we would just pray and we'd say, "Lord, we don't know what to do. We're going to lose our son." And we focused our attention basically on helping him for it seemed like years. But God enabled us to work through it. Don't give up. Help your children to obey. They must learn to obey. Well, how about teens? We got to pick on the teens now. We probably have a few teens here in our midst, or parents of teenagers. Colin Smith, in his book, The 10 Greatest Struggles of Your Life, said of teens, "Don't regard your home as a bed and breakfast, or your parents as a cash station, or a laundry service." That's good. Some of you parents, you know what we're talking about. You've been there. Your kids are maybe in college now, and it seems like all you were a bed and breakfast, or a cash station, or a laundry service. But teens, and also college students, still under the parents' control, you have a responsibility as well to obey. You need to obey, even though your role is a little bit, not role is different, but you're changing and you're working towards independence. You still need to have the right attitude towards authority. You're not a child, but you're not an adult. So you get more freedom than you did when you were little, but not as much as you're going to have when you're 30. You still need to obey. It involves listening to your parents. I guarantee you, college students and teenagers, if you will honor your parents and do what God says, you will be happier. And your parents, I guarantee, will be a lot happier. It makes a huge difference in the harmony of the home if we do what God says for us to do. A teenager once asked Ann Landers, I don't usually like what she says, but in this case I do. A teenager once wrote to Ann Landers and said this, "I'm a 15-year-old boy, and my biggest problem is my mother. All she does is nag, 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 from morning till night. It's turn off the TV. Do your homework. Wash behind your neck. Stand up straight. Go clean your room. How can I get her off my case?" The response was, "Dear Picky, turn off the TV. Do your homework. Wash behind your neck. Stand up straight. Go clean your room. Do what Mom has said for you to do." This is a command. This is not the great suggestion. And so teens, I just challenge you, do what God has told us to do. When you talk to your parents, have respect for them. When you talk about your parents, don't talk about them as the old man. Oh, you may do some joking and all that kind of stuff, but no, you need to be careful how you talk about them and talk to them. Don't yell. Don't say, "I hate you. You're stupid." That is definitely not honoring your parents. And parents of teenagers, don't let yourself get caught in the emotion of the moment. Remain calm. Call in the troops from God. No, just ask for God's help, and He will enable you. Just be firm, but be under control. And then adults, as we go to the third point there, adults. How can we apply this as adults to our lives? Mark Twain said, "When I was 14, I couldn't believe how stupid my father was. By the time I was 21, I realized he had become smart. I can't believe how much he learned in seven short years. Proverbs 23:22 says, "Listen to your father who gave you life, and do not despise your mother when she is old." The Word of God has some things to say about how we are to treat our parents, and especially as we get older, how we're to treat our elderly parents. It's interesting, in Matthew chapter 15, just jot it down, verses 4 and 5, Jesus was talking to the Pharisees, and he saw some of the Pharisees refusing to provide for their parents in their old age, and he accused them of violating this very command we're talking about today, of violating honoring their parents. Instead of taking care of their parents, the Pharisees were keeping the money for themselves and claiming that they had dedicated it to God, so they had none left to give to their parents. And so he was scathing them for their hypocrisy and for their rebellion. I believe that part of this honoring of our parents involves caring for our elderly parents. Now, we may not be able to care for them and have them come and live with us, but we need to see, to do the best that we can to see that they are cared for. We need to honor them. We need to listen to them. We need to seek their advice on life issues and give weight to what they say. But we no longer are responsible to obey them because we have formed our own households and we have left our father and mother. We are cleaving to our new relationship, to our mate, and we have formed a new household and they have become our priority. But we are to still hold what they say with weightiness. We are to seek their advice on some of life's major issues and give weight to what they say. We are to treat them with kindness, share their special days, visit them if possible, write or call them, be grateful for what they've done. My dad lives in upstate New York, and we're going to have the privilege of going out there in a month to visit him. I haven't been out there in 3 or 4 years. It's just not been possible to do that. But I try to talk to my dad every week, and we have a great relationship. I care for him dearly. I honor and I submit, I respect my dad very highly. And when I have a problem, I go to him, and my dad usually has some great wisdom to offer me. I love it when the Lord Jesus Christ is hanging on the cross as he is dying for our sins. He looks down at his own mother, and he there takes control or takes charge and says, "John, take care of my mother." And so he was caring, even in his own greatest moment of weakness and need, he still cared for his mother. All of us have broken this command. If you've ever thought anything bad about your parents, or said anything bad, or disobeyed them, you have broken this command. So we're all in the same boat. The only one who had complete obedience to this command is the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm so thankful that when he died on the cross and paid for our penalty, he died as one who had complete obedience to the Father, who obeyed completely and perfectly. And that's why he could offer the perfect sacrifice of himself for our sins. I encourage you to pray and ask for God's help as you seek to obey this particular command. Child, teenager, adult, honor your father and mother. Let's bow in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word, for its clarity. And now the matter is, we need to be doers of the word and not hearers only. Guide us, Father, as we seek to obey you. In Jesus' name, amen.